Produced on the traditional territories of the Tewa people, the Santa Fe Art Institute welcomes you to season two of the Tilt Podcast.
Hi, listeners. Welcome back. This is Natpun from SFAI. We took a little bit of a break, a hiatus from season one, and now we're back. I just want to kick us off by talking about a unique partnership that SFAI has cultivated over the past year or two. And with me today is my dear colleague, Manzar Sami. She's our Director of Development and Communications. Welcome, Manzar.
Hi, thank you so much. It's awesome to be here with you and to finally be involved in Tilt.
Yes, Manzar, set the scene for us. Tell us more about this partnership.
Yeah, so the partnership is based on Midtown and engagement at the Midtown campus amongst a series of organizations, of local organizations here in Santa Fe. And while Midtown is really important, what we really want to highlight through our conversations, you and I today, and also between the Midtown engagement partners, is the nature of the partnerships, the collaborations, and our commitments to one another and our commitments to our communities. So this is more of an opportunity to dig into that rather than to discuss the Midtown site itself.
Cool. Thanks. Yes. And to our listeners, throughout the episode, we will be joined by our executive director, Jamie Blosser, in addition to Michael Pride from UNM Design and Assistance Center, Miguel Acosta and Alma Rivera from EarthCare, Tomas Rivera from Chainbreakers, Chris Jonas from Little Globe, and Jay Hennecke from YouthWorks. So let's listen in to their brief intro and their roles within their organizations.
We are here today with Michael Pride at UNM's Design and Planning Assistance Center. I'm Jamie Blosser. I'm the Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and Netapan Ma is with me. He's our Strategic Initiatives Coordinator.
Hi, Netapan. Hi, Jamie. It's great to be here with you.
Can you tell us a little bit about, I know you have multiple roles at UNM. Can you tell us about your role at DPAC and your role sort of leading all of us with the Midtown Engagement Partnerships?
I'd be happy to, Jamie. My role at the Design and Planning Assistance Center at the University of New Mexico is as co-director. I co-direct that center. It's a research center with my colleague, Catherine Page Harris, who's in the Landscape Architecture Department. The Design and Planning Assistance Center, which we'll call DPAC, like everybody else does, has been around since 1969. It is the second oldest operating community design center in a U.S. university. So it's a pretty impressive and hefty legacy to follow. And so DPAC's role in the state is really to serve underserved communities with design and planning assistance. With that can be research assistance, it can be design assistance. It shows up in a number of different ways. And the Midtown project in Santa Fe is just one example of that. We were approached by the project team, the management team, to see if we might be interested in helping facilitate a public engagement process about the development at Midtown that would be a new method, a new strategy for Santa Fe. Reaching deeply into the communities that are typically underrepresented in public planning processes. And they already had the idea of partnering with community organizations to do that work effectively. So that was new for us too, but we said yes. And so I guess my role in general language is project manager, and in academic language, I'm a principal investigator in research terms.
Hi, Miguel. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Tell us a little bit about EarthCare and what you've been up to.
Well, thank you. And thank you for this invitation. EarthCare is a youth and community leadership-based organization, right? Focused on creating transformative change for sustainable and equitable communities. I mean, that's the sort of the tagline, right?
Yeah.
We've been around since 2001. So we just celebrated our 20th, we started our sort of 20th year of work here in Santa Fe. And the organization has transformed a bit over the years. Most of the transformations have been good and positive, right? And for the last, for the second half, of, I guess, of its life, it has been focused on doing specific targeted youth and family development in sort of the lower income communities of color here in Santa Fe, but also broadening more focused work on the south side, but also broadening in the last few years to more regional and even statewide work with our climate justice work that our youth are leading.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. My name's Alma Rivera. I use she, her pronouns. And I'm a fifth generation Northern New Mexican. Very happy to be part of the EarthCare team. Miguel shared a little bit about what EarthCare does. And I can share a little bit about Yucca. I know you asked about that. So Yucca is Youth United for Climate Crisis Action. And they're an amazing group that is within EarthCare. And they're youth led. So just a few days ago, they were organizing at the state capitol and holding our elected officials accountable and really getting the information out there to fellow young people and to the community in terms of what we can all do to make a difference when it comes to the climate crisis, as well as just being involved in the process. Right? Because these decisions are going to impact our lives, our families, our communities, one way or another. Mm-hmm. So these Yucca leaders are just so amazing in terms of, getting the information out there and getting organized and holding our elected officials accountable, like I said.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Tomas Rivera. I am with Chainbreaker Collective. Chainbreaker is a membership-led economic and environmental justice organization based here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We have over 800 dues-paying members, the bulk of whom are low-income people of color and live in Hopewell, Man, and the surrounding neighborhoods around Midtown. And we're happy to be here. We've done we have a long working relationship with SFAI and looking forward to talking about it.
My name is Jay Henneke. I'm the Director of Operations for Santa Fe Youth Works. We do GED, academic enrichment programs, workforce development programs, and wraparound services for the youth of Santa Fe and their families.
Hi, I'm Chris Jonas. I'm co-director at Little Globe. We are a Santa Fe-based nonprofit, and we believe that our communities thrive when all members are seen and heard. And we accomplish this through collaborating with community members to provide access, tools, and means to amplify their stories of living in this place. Our multi-generational, multi-heritage, multidisciplinary team helped to provide a whole array of different points of access for people and storytelling. We produce documentary films, experimental pieces, visual arts pieces, theater pieces, and broadcast pieces, as well as school-based programs and community-based programs. We conduct training programs, but we also work across our community in collaboration with other agencies to help them to provide these tools to their constituencies to tell stories and connect those to the arenas of policy making and determination of who we are and the power of our world.
I want to talk a little bit about, you know, for our listeners, our Midtown Engagement Partnership. Miguel, we were talking to Tomas the other day, and you know, he was talking about our strengths and weaknesses in our partnerships. And he mentioned, this quote kind of resonated with me, our differences are our strength. Can you talk a little bit or share your reflection a bit to our listeners about the nature of our Midtown engagement partnership slash collaboration?
I agree that our differences can be our strength. And it's one of the things I think that's most critically lacking in our society in general, mm-hmm. right? But specifically here in Santa Fe is that we've lost our ability, right? We forgot how to engage in difficult conversations around differences in a meaningful and transformative way, right? I mean, we're really good at yelling at each other from different corners, right? And we're really good at creating sort of these, you know, straw men to attack and what have you. But engaging in difficult conversations, and I think we've done that in this partnership, in this alliance. You know, it first of all, it takes skill, it takes practice, but it also takes some commitments, right, that people haven't been willing to make in general. Unfortunately, you know, we're investing a lot of money in having sort of community conversations about how do we all come together and create like some, you know, happy kumbaya kind of community. But it's money that's not going to be well spent because we skipped the process of dealing with the difficulties, right? Of being honest with each other and providing opportunities for resolution, right? Mm-hmm. And absolving, you know, absolution and resolution. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's part of the dilemma that we find ourselves in, right? Mm-hmm. That is you're one and done, right? In other words, you know, if there's a strike against you, we don't want to hear you no more. You know, you're out of the equation or whatever. And that's not the way successful relational societies, right? Mm-hmm. Don't function that way. You know, successful relational societies always have to leave room for absolution, right? They have to leave room I was born Catholic, right? So I use those sort of frames, right, that come from, I'm at this, but you know, there's got to be a way for people to make penance, right? Be absolved of their sins, mm-hmm. and find forgiveness, right? And that doesn't mean forget, right? But you know, there needs to be a space for those kinds of things to happen. So this partnership and this alliance, and I know everybody that's there, everybody had issues and questions coming into the room, looking at who else was in the room, mm-hmm. right? And we're still holding a lot of those sort of, you know, I don't know, right? I'm not sure where that's coming from. Should I say something? Should I not say something? I don't know if I want to be here, right? Mm-hmm. I think that goes through all of our minds every week. These weekly, monthly meetings that were supposed to happen monthly that are now happening like three times a week or whatever. I think part of it is because we're realizing how important the process has been, not just for Midtown, right? Although that's critical. But for practicing, from my perspective, I think that's why we've agreed to spend so many hours on this, because we're developing here some attitudes, behaviors, and beliefs, right, and practices that need to be, that are important, right, and that need to be developed and embraced and honored and refined, et cetera, and then shared, right, with the rest of the community in ways that are both practical, right, in terms of how do we do community conversations, right, that are meaningful and not just tokenizing, but also at a policy level, right? You know, how do institutions, whether they're organizations or governments, how do they change their operating assumptions to make this not just an integral part, but a primary part of decision making? I mean, you know, like the work that we're doing, you know, around climate justice, right? If we can have those conversations become more like this one, right? Mm-hmm. We're doomed.
I feel like we've been the bridge to the community and schools, mm-hmm. engaging youth, engaging Spanish-speaking families, offering the opportunity for them not only to take the survey in Spanish, but also to participate in facilitated focus groups that were also in Spanish. And the reason that that's important is because, well, one, we're practicing one, which is language justice, right? Mm-hmm. And just the fact that we're asking people to dream with us and share these big ideas that sometimes are connected to pain, because we're talking about displaced communities, we're talking about gentrification, we're talking about structural violence and colonialization and, you know, all of these really big issues. But at the same time, we're asking, you know, youth and families to dream with us and to be part of making that dream a reality. So I feel like what EarthCare has brought to this partnership is what they bring to the community, right, for so many years. And that is like engaging youth and families around the issues that are important. But reflecting on like Tomas's comment in terms of like our differences are strengths, that's what Santa Fe is very much known for, is their diversity. And so looking at the diversity of people who are in this partnership, I think is important. I know I have learned about other organizations, just the Block Party, for example. You know, I come from a background of organizing. I come from a background of education. So I'm no stranger to be part of these community partnerships. But I just have to say, it's really beautiful to be in action together, to get to come together. And one of the roles I had through EarthCare was getting some of our young people who had taken part in surveys, who had taken part in focus groups, to come be some of the volunteers at the Block Party, as well as some of our families from Poder Familiar through EarthCare were also, some of the core, like, we're talking about setting up tables and chairs and you name it, you were there with us, right?
Oh yeah, I was. We got our hands dirty and we start lifting heavy things.
Exactly, right? You didn't know what was going to be asked of you, and that was okay, because that's part of showing up in service to your community and being willing to like work together. I'm just amazed by our youth who gave of their time on a Saturday to come be part of this. And I think it shows the strength of our community, that when you really like put the politics aside, when you put the I'm at a loss of words, but when you really just create the invitation and give the space for the community to come together, they will amaze you. So it was awesome to be part of that. And I do agree, in many ways our differences are our strengths. However, I think we have a long way to come in terms of being open to truly learning from one another.
But Tomas, I just wanted to get your insights on, just in general, you know, your take on the nature of our collaboration so far.
Sure. I think that once I was having a conversation or listening to a presentation that someone from Santa Fe Art Institute did, and you talked about what happens on Midtown being an existential issue for Santa Fe Art Institute. And I certainly think that we share that at Chainbreaker, that feeling. So I think that what has brought us together is a combined understanding that the future of what happens on Midtown, that our futures for each of our organizations and the work we do is tied to the future of Midtown. And so I think that this collaboration has allowed us to work on that directly and collaborate. And I really appreciate that, Chainbreaker and Santa Fe Art Institute are friends, but we don't work on the same issues typically, right? And so this has allowed us to do that and to really put boots on the ground from each organization to really figure out what is our vision, what is our approach to all of these things, and to collaborate in a real authentic way, because it really is about it's an existential issue for both of us. And I think that when you have that much skin in the game, it sort of elevates the the way that you approach things. But mostly we've been leaning into the hope and the optimism of what it can bring. And I just really think that this collaboration is really just phenomenal in that way. You mentioned consensus process before, and I often say that the way that Chainbreaker approaches is by getting the people most impacted to lead and do it through this consensus process. Means that we have a strong analysis, means that people don't stop fighting until we win, because our lives depend on it, and it takes us a lot longer to get there, and it's a lot of work and resources. So our greatest strengths are often sometimes our biggest challenges as well. And I think that figuring out how to leverage those things and lean into the strength part of it is really what is critical. And I think that that's what's happening with the Midtown Engagement Partnership and just these alliances in general, is you're right. We each have our own approaches to things. We each have our own agendas. We each are accountable to different people. The good thing about that, though, is that that means that we're each accountable to different people and that we each have our own agendas, right? When we're talking about 64 acres of land, we think that it's impacting the people in the surrounding neighborhoods the most, but everybody's going to be impacted by this. And so there is a level of political power that comes with really broadening ourselves in that way as well. Knowing that we also have different approaches, sometimes that resonates with a decision maker or a policy maker in one way better than others. When we can show that if our organizations can get over our differences and figure out how to do this, when we can show that to our leaders, that's really leading from the bottom. It's saying if we can overcome these differences, so can you. If we can figure out how to do better in the face of all of these challenges, if we can figure out how to lead the country in creating development without displacement that is led from the community, then you can also figure out how to get around the political inconvenience of some of that, right? You can figure out how to raise the money for it, and we will help you do that.
Michael, take us on a journey. Take our listeners on a journey, if you will. I mean, when I entered this Midtown Engagement Partnership and my role in it, I kind of approached it as some sort of like seed plantings in a way, but take us on a journey on the process of how we all came together in an alliance like this, and just share some of your thoughts and reflection to our listeners on some of the potential community benefits that you see.
Well, I kind of hear two questions there. One is about the journey from then to where we are. And then the other is how the benefits might show up in the future. And maybe I'll start with that end point, because I love that question. The community benefit here is kind of a collective vision that's shared by a lot of people, we hope, and that is carried, really importantly, by people and organizations that have influence and power. That's how it's going to show up. How we got here, for me, we talked before about my much closer connections to Albuquerque. So even though I live here in Santa Fe, I probably looked, felt, and sounded a lot like an outsider. And with the exception of Jamie, all of these relationships were new. And so we also talked about trust earlier and how fragile that is. So we tried, just like, let's just call a meeting, or let's just get people to say, yes, we want to work with you or something. And what ultimately happened was, I don't know, a couple of dozen one-on-one conversations with a couple of dozen people representing organizations over months of time, just to get to even talk about what the project is like, to build some level, enough trust to say, okay, yeah, I think we could work together. And so that was a big learning that still stands out for me as a big takeaway, that relationship building. And we were lucky. Even then, we were leveraging relationships that Jamie and SFAI already had, you know, the work that you'd done under the Our Town grant. And then once we, and then I think it was really important that the different connections in this web already existed. So one could kind of, once one became comfortable enough at the idea of working with us and the city on Midtown, another would say, okay, you know, if Chainbreaker's in, okay, with them, we'll go in too. So it really relied on the connections and the relationships that already existed to form new relationships and then strengthen the ties between all of the organizations. It's all been about that. It's been about the relationships between each organization and the communities and constituents that they serve or with whom they work and live. It's all about that. It's all about relationships. That's 90% of the work. And then the rest is, you know, figuring out what we're going to do together and what people said and where it will go next and how we will meet and how we'll make decisions and, you know, finding the things that we agree upon. But that was also part of the relationship building, was to, you know, establishing that we had some shared values or, you know, something, there was something to connect us.
I'd love to hear from the perspective of you and YouthWorks, maybe just talking about that question about, you know, our collective responsibility and our collective power, perhaps.
Absolutely. Well, what's most immediately coming to mind is all of our organizations, all of the Midtown engagement partners and all of the MAP partners who were brought on afterwards. We all specialize, and that makes us more effective at the specializations that we employ and that, you know, that we share with the communities. But when it comes to large scale projects like community input for development purposes, our individual focuses, our individual audiences tell really important stories, but they don't tell the whole city of Santa Fe story. So collaborating on a project like the Midtown Engagement Partners allows all of our organizations to come together with our, you know, narrower, but not in a negative way, but narrower perspectives, narrower audiences, bring them together, have a much bigger holistic view of Santa Fe as the entire city, and see that more holistically than our individual missions might allow, so that we can influence larger impact, not just on our focus audiences, but on each other's focus audiences also, so that a collective voice is amplified and directed at substantial change, not just for the immediate generations, but for generations, you know, being born here and that are moving here, right? Our population has increased pretty steadily over the last really, you know, 100 years, but even the last few. So, you know, we need to be inclusive of the people who are here while also living in the reality that people are moving to Santa Fe. It's a great place to live. And we want to keep it that way, largely for the families who are here and already in our school systems and in our social programs, but also the people who are going to move here and retire here and possibly start their own families here. So when we take individual organizations that have their particular specializations and bring them together, we can see a much larger picture and much more accurate picture of the city as a whole than if we always just stayed in our organizational bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because this is such a profound conversation. I think in some ways the word community is so important. And I remember one of the first things that started shaking up the word for me was, do you know Roberto Bedoya? He says, in terms of the word community, he says, well, community isn't a noun for me. He says it's a verb. It's an active thing. And I think that in a lot of ways, you know, this is some of the questions that we're all holding together in partnership. You know, our first project, I believe, our first project is perfectly that it's this conversation about the future of Midtown. And that it gives us a limited scope enough to have a single thing to focus on, engagement at Midtown. How do we do this? And you're right, you and I have been in conversation, you, me, and Michael, reflective greatly of the work of, within our own circle, of Chainbreaker and Earthcare, from which I've learned so much over the years. And so, community, I think, in the context of Midtown, the thing I always think about is representative power. I think about all these different things that within the partnership, we started with our original cohort, and now we have new members of the group. And for example, this suddenly now at the table is the Santa Fe Indigenous Center. They have changed the way I think about Midtown. They've changed. I'm surprised by the things that have come forward, and I'm aware of the fact that it's almost like there's new sensitivities that are coming into this partnership that we've created. That partnership, in some ways, I think we're trying to sort of almost, it wants to become its own neural network. It wants to become its own nervous system, where the things that are important for this town to be able to have sensory experience of, in terms of the needs of the people who live here, to belong at Midtown. What is it for a Native person to feel like they need to belong at Midtown? That's different than it is for a person who's from Southern California as an artist who taught there, which is different than his roommate who's from Kiwa Pueblo and went to college there. We all have these different, Midtown means different things to us. And so we have to have these different kinds of sensitivities. It's almost like having a nervous system, and we've added new kinds of sensory perception. And so the grassroots is on the ground day to day with different constituencies. And in some ways, yes, it is probably somewhat of an outside in perspective to look at it from this perspective. But I think it's important for us to zoom in and out, for us to spend time and to hear the specific needs of what it is to be a Spanish-speaking teenager in Santa Fe who feels disenfranchised, and feel that experience and for Little Globe through storytelling, to be able to sit in somebody, to be able to feel somebody else's experience, and then to zoom out and say, okay, well, how does this neural network that we're creating around engagement and around power in Santa Fe, how does our neural network thwart that voice, and what can that voice do to feel like it can come to the table and say, you need to rethink how this network operates.
Wow. Yeah, in thinking about what Tomas has brought up, and he mentioned our differences are our strength. Manzar, I want to ask you about some challenges that you've observed throughout the course of our partnerships with the local organizations here.
Yeah, that's a really great question, and it comes up often in our meetings. And one of the major challenges of the collaboration is building trust between the organizations. And through this partnership, I think that, you know, we have all built a significant amount of trust amongst ourselves, but also building trust and maintaining trust within our communities. So through this partnership, it's a combination of both when it comes to trust building amongst ourselves and then also with our communities.
Mm-hmm. Let's have a listen to how each of the organizations cultivate trust.
One of our challenges and opportunities to identify a little more generically, a little less specifically, the individual steps and strategies that we found most effective and those that weren't, right? Because not everything we did was good, right? It worked out. And so I think this reflection and evaluation is really important. The other part that I think is equally important is to talk about how would we measure success in the future. And I remember at our first retreat or one of those, Tomas asked that question of each of us, what would success look like and what would failure look like? Like, what is the criteria for success? How would we measure it? And let's go ahead and measure it rather than seeing it as a done deal when all the policy documents are signed. That would be really interesting.
You know, I just think about like the history of New Mexico in terms of like the work that's happened, you know, long before coalitions or nonprofits or 501c3. So I guess the only thing I'd like to share is it's, in my opinion, part of our strength, like a cultural strength, that we are able to come together and collaborate. Of course, I think that's changed from generation to generation. And I think part of the challenges that we face are inherited ones, right? Because of broken trust or because of, people being tokenized, as Miguel was speaking into earlier. So I think that the best thing that we can do is through action and invitation, continue to show the community another way. But that is really, I feel, in the hands of the city. Like, us as a coalition are here to do our job, to hold them accountable and to be advocates for the communities that we represent. But I feel like it would be such a missed opportunity after all this work if the city went on to do whatever they wanted and did not honor the voices of community. Because, you know, if you get the chance to read some of these surveys, or you know, if you were lucky enough, like myself or some of our staff, to be part of these community conversations, it really is a beautiful space to be able to come together and dream and reclaim our community. Because I think everyone can say like, oh, Santa Fe has changed so much. And, you know, locals have been pushed out, which is very much true. My family and I are like living the very issue of displacement in this very moment. But I think it's the importance of reclaiming land, language, culture, and the practice of community and what that looks like. And part of community is honoring one another, you know. So I would just like to honor you all for what you're doing and thank you for your time today, and honor all of our community and thank them for taking part, not just in the Midtown engagement, but, you know, other things that are coming, like the new teen center and the redevelopment of Airport Road and fighting for our open spaces. There's so many different opportunities for youth, family, and community to voice their opinion and to be part of saying, what does true community development look like when community is actually at the center, right?
You know, a lot of, you know, your Chainbreakers' heart and soul and work, it's to the masses and the people around the neighborhoods here. And I know, you know, having Having walked through the site, it's very barren and quiet and desolate in a way. And it's to the outsider, I don't know, you know, our listeners, if you're in town, you drive through St. Michael's and you're entering the Midtown site, is not that welcoming. So can you talk a little bit about how to make this place more welcoming, and especially for the people that you represent and work with, how to create a sense of belonging to this place?
Sure. Well, I think that, you know, I can understand that sense, and sometimes I feel it as well. However, when we walk through there, or when we have a lot of our members go there, these are folks that grew up in Santa Fe. They grew up in the neighborhood surrounding there. They've spent their lives, their childhood walking through there. They went to school there. They had their wedding reception there. You know, they had their, you know, graduation there. And so in some ways it is sort of on pause. I don't like to think of it as so much as being barren, because it's just so full of that history and just so full of people's real deep, not just memory, but affection for the space there. And so I think that what that's where it brings out the opportunity and threat piece, right? Is in our experience at Chainbreaker, who is organizing in the surrounding neighborhoods and has for the last 17 years, we're aware that development on that campus could erase all of that. It could erase that history, and it could frankly gentrify the neighborhood in a way that erases the future for people there. And so on that scale, I think that when we're walking around the campus, it feels very present for us. And at the same time, again, that deep just love and affection of the piece itself. You know, we had an assembly in 2019 that we worked on with you all. In fact, you know, Santa Fe Art Institute was housing so much of that assembly itself. It was alive, and people's energy was very high. And so that's what I mean by leaning into the hope of that, is I think that people feel welcome to the extent in which they are made to feel welcome there. It's not the geography itself. In fact, when we were planning that assembly, people called it Nuestro Corazón, which is our heart, which means the heart of the city. It's the geographic center of the city, but it is also really so much more that relates to our hearts there. So, you know, I think that that's really what we see when we're going there, and how we can make it more inviting is exactly through the work that we're doing through the Midtown Engagement Partnership and what our organizations have been doing both together and separately over the last several years, really going to the people, trusting the people, saying, what do you need here? What's important to you? What's going to keep your neighborhood safe and protected? And how are we going to be able to develop without displacing people?
How would you describe the existing partnerships that you already have to fulfill your mission, and what we've been doing as a group with the MEP and the UNM DPAC work? Would you be able to describe a unique difference with that work?
The partnerships absolutely allow us to do things that we would not be able to do on our own. The Midtown Engagement Partners, we would never have been able to have gathered the data that we gathered if it were just YouthWorks. It took the whole partnership to be able to reach as many people as we reached. And then with a lot of our other programs, we can't run our youth build construction without Habitat. We can't run our food production programs without Reunity Resources. We can't run college programs without the community college and other organizations that are providing scholarships and grants. So no matter what we would be able to do just internally for ourselves and our clients, there's no way we would be able to provide the same amount of service and options and opportunities. Those are the keywords I wanted to get in before was options and opportunities that, you know, I think a lot of, especially when you're in that teenage age range, melancholy, sadness, a sense of hopelessness, I think they're general trends. And if your community around them doesn't show them that they have hope and they have options and they have opportunities, then it's really easy for them to, you know, carry that into adulthood with them. And that hurts those individuals. It doesn't help the community. It's a thing we want to avoid. And one of the things that our partnerships help us with is we get to show our clients, hey, we're not the only ones. This is not your only option. There are other organizations that are doing other really awesome things. And if construction culinary isn't for you, but maybe art media is, then we have partners who can involve you in those programs in addition to or instead of ours, and really showing the youth options and opportunities to give them hope for the future, but also that there is an entire, not just community, like a network, a whole network of organizations and adults who do believe in the youth and who are working for the benefit of the youth. And again, I think that's something that it's really easy for youth to lose sight of. And if they get stuck within their little niches, right, their little bubbles, and they never know that we're out here, then it's going to be hard for them to turn that, teen angst or whatever it is around and turn it into something productive. It's easy as a youth or young adult to get jaded with the community and the way that everything is working around you. But what partnerships like this does is show our clients that all of these other partners are out there doing good work too. And it shows our partners' clients, hey, this is not the only organization out here doing good work for youth in the community. There are actually a lot of us. And that can be really beneficial to someone's feeling of hope for the future and sense of community, right? That there are a lot of us who really take pride in trying to make Santa Fe a better place, and we're doing it for the youth just as much as anything else.
Welcome back, listeners. So we've listened to a lot of our community engagement partners reflect on, their thoughts and their takes on the nature of our collaborations. I went back and asked our executive director, Jamie Blosser, about her thoughts and reflection on the nature of the collaboration between the Midtown Engagement Partnership. Here's Jamie.
There has to be active work to build community. There has to be active work to develop trust, to develop relationships, right? And also to develop skills for listening to one another. And it comes down to words. Like one point I had mentioned in a community conversation with all of us that like a campaign is not really the lens by which we operate. But it's not that I'm personally not comfortable with that word. It's not in my DNA of my organization because we're not grassroots organizers. We don't run campaigns, right? That's something that I'm really wanting to pull apart is that what is in each of our backpacks that helps us with community as a verb together, uh-huh. An active relationship and constant building. And how does it possibly, hopefully help our communities, right? And obviously, as you said, it's nice to have a project. It's important to have a project. Is it something that, and I think that the example of the block party to me is a beautiful example of how we pulled everything out. We had all the tools from our backpacks present and ready to go and it worked, right? And we manifested this beautiful moment for one day. Kind of a vision of how public space in Santa Fe wants to be, how we want to be as a community building that in Santa Fe.
And, the thing that occurs to me in terms of even the word community and this project is in a lot of ways we have this task at hand, which is making sure that as Midtown is developed, it is done so powered by the community itself.
Well, that wraps up part one of this episode. Stay tuned for part two, where we will dive deeper in conversation about community transformation and collective power, in addition to community benefits from an alliance such as ours. Manzar, you have anything to add before we say goodbye to our listeners?
Yeah, just, you know, that we've been through a lot of really interesting topics, but that there's a lot more richness to come in the next episode. So definitely join us as we get further into the complexities of this partnership.
Cool. Until then, see you the fourth Friday of February. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to all of our listeners and supporters out there. I'm Courtney Andar. Be sure to visit our website, sfai.org, where we've just recently announced the open call for the 2023 thematic residency, Changing Climate. Applications are due in April. That's sfai.org.